Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, amen.
So glad that we're back from our sickness and back in church.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I think we're going to sing Little David. This morning's service inspired me to sing Little David. Y'all sing it with us. I know you know it.
Give them a hand. Can you do that? Is that all of them? Isn't there some more young folks? How about all our young folks coming up on the first bench, first couple of benches here? We're going to do a song for you, or with you. How many knows that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine? Right. Is that the only one, just one that does it? I want all the young folks to sing it tonight. We're going to help you. We're going to back you up. Sister Valerie, that's you too, yeah. It's all the young folks. I don't know if I can get you back here for me at this time. Wonderful job, didn't they?
Amen.
Amen. We need to encourage our young folks. Amen. So very much so. We often say they're the church of tomorrow. I believe they're the church of today. Let's do G. You know, when you hear your parents or your parent talking about wish they would just go home too, it kind of saddens your heart, but then you think, well, they know what's waiting over yonder. And what seems sad to us loved ones may be joyous to them. Maybe the Lord somehow, some way, just lets them peep into heaven to know that what is over there is much better than what's over here. Oh, life has been so good.
I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm weary from the struggle of it all. So I listen for His call.
Is so good and gracious. Love Him so very much. Amen. Do you love Jesus tonight?
Amen.
Amen. He is so precious. So wonderful. Thank you for coming out tonight. We certainly appreciate you being with us. We have so many of our congregation that's not able to be here, and certainly we keep them in our thoughts and prayers that God would continue to bless them and to anoint them, amen, from the sickness that seems to be rampant in the day that we're living in. But thank God that you're here tonight, and thank God that you're doing well. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. Luke. I don't intend to keep us very long tonight. I know it's been a very trying week, but God is so good, so wonderful. Amen. I'm thankful that we've come tonight to give Him honor, to give Him praise, just to lift up His name. In the book of St. Luke tonight, I want us to go to the 19th chapter. The words of Christ tonight, beginning with verse number 41. St. Luke chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 41. Just to set the stage a little bit, this is when Christ gave instruction to His disciples to go and find the coat that was tied and to bring to Him as He began to prepare to enter into Jerusalem. And those disciples and followers of Christ begin to throw down the leaves and begin to shout Hosanna. And Christ points and begins to say something that is very, very indicative of the day and hour that I believe that we're living in now, even though He was entering into Jerusalem. And the words that He said that day was, we know, for and directed to Jerusalem, but it was so prophetic. The words also that He used, I believe, that is very timely in this day and hour that we're living in. Not to keep you standing very long, but again, reading from verse number 41 in the 19th chapter of St. Luke. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love, for those who have gathered here tonight, God, for the purpose of worshiping you. Father, I pray that you would pour out your anointed spirit upon each and every one here tonight, God, that we might be receptive to that you have for us. God, I pray that you would help us to be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember so many, God, who are sick and struggling and suffering tonight. And we pray, God, for their healing and for their anointing and for their strength. Pray, God, that you would bless those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you'd have mercy upon the many, many lost souls tonight. And God, give us a desire to reach those souls, God, to put out a hand of love, God, and comfort them, and God, and just encourage them to come to the knowledge of Christ. Father, I pray that you would create such an urgency, not only in this church, but each and every Bible-believing church, that there be an outreach to lost souls. And Father, we'll be so careful, asking you now, God, just to anoint these lips of clay as we ask you to speak to our hearts tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. You may be seated tonight. My message title tonight would be A Time to Weep. I know we're all familiar with Ecclesiastes and the writer of Ecclesiastes, and he began to talk about there is a time and a season for each and everything, and they begin to name the different things, and there is a time for joy, there's a time for happiness, and then there's a time to weep. And as I began to prepare for this message tonight, I thought about a need for the church to weep around the altar. Church, we're blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. Can I just say I'm so thankful that somebody enlightened me, somebody testified to me, somebody witnessed to me, somebody reached out a hand to me to encourage me to come not only to church, but to come to the knowledge of Christ, to come to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We see so many people today that seemingly, and not being judgmental by no means, God does not want me and never call me to be a judge, but it just seems like the fruit is not there. There's so many people today that seemingly are not only lost, but not even concerned about the lost nature. And I know it had an effect on Jesus. We find Jesus entering into Jerusalem. He had just passed through Bethany, and he was on his way. If you would allow me just a little time tonight, he was just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And he was entering to a city of promise. He was entering into a city that was, in olden days, was prophesied that the children of Israel would once be able to obtain. Far from the slave camps of Egypt, far from the wilderness journey that took some 40 years for this great multitude of people to finally reach the land of Canaan that God had promised the ancestors prior to that particular time. Even up until the birth of Jesus Christ and his ministry, Jerusalem had flourished. Jerusalem was blessed because God's people were there in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem began to stray from the promises of God. Jerusalem began to be, for lack of a better term, like the cities surrounding them and like other nations around them. And they begin to forget the blessings of God, even though that generations were encouraged to pass the story on about the the victories in the wilderness and the transformation from an enslaved people to a free people and the passing on of the commandments and the tabernacle that was erected in the wilderness. And these were stories that should have been and was carried from generation to generation. But over a period of time, Jerusalem had allowed these stories just to become stories and had forgot about the visitation of God. In fact, Jesus mentions that in this particular passage of Scripture, because they knew it not the time of thy visitation. And I want to bring that to light tonight if I possibly can. But as Jesus is entering on the outskirts of Jerusalem, he begins to notice things that don't seem right. This week, I had my precious uncle who hasn't been down to Villarica in a number of years. He is the one that has been the caretaker of his precious wife, my daddy's baby sister, who passed away this past February. It was a year ago this month, and he has not done much traveling, and he's up in age, and he called me and told me that he was going to come and visit and was going to spend a morning together and go by and see mother and kind of reminisce. So he was able to call me this week, and we got together, and he began to say, you know, when I drove into Villarica, I didn't recognize it. He said, I really hadn't been here other than the reunion for about the last 3 years. And he said, I couldn't believe all the traffic. I couldn't believe all the commercialism that's gone up. And we don't recognize that so much because we see it every day. But to a person that hadn't seen it in a while, I'm sure it looked like a great change. And I began to think about Jesus as he was entering into Jerusalem. And it's not so much that the streets were not familiar. It's not so much that he noticed the growth that had multiplied. It wasn't so much that he noticed the buildings had changed. But Brother Jim, what he noticed, the people had changed. There was not that reverence to God. There was not that love of God. There was not that obedience to the commandments and the precepts and the statutes of God. And the Bible tells us here, and there's only a couple of places in the Bible that are recorded where Jesus actually wept. One was at the tomb of Lazarus, and another one was upon entering into the city of Jerusalem at this particular time. And the Bible tells us that Jesus wept, and the Amplified Bible tells us that he wept audibly, meaning that those around him heard him weep. And this was supposed to be a time of celebration. This was supposed to be a time of joy. This was supposed to be a time of shouting, Hosanna, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But as the people began to praise his closest disciples and followers, praise him and shout, Hosanna, Jesus looked at the surroundings. He looked at Jerusalem. He discerned the spirit of backslidden condition. He discerned that the people's hearts and their minds were not on God, and the Bible says that he wept, and another version says he wept audibly or in the ears of those around him, and he began to speak, and he said, if thou hadst known, and he's speaking here to the heart of Jerusalem, he says, if thou hadst known the grace that was extended to you in that day, and it touched my heart as I began to run reference on what Christ was talking about, because he was referring to the visitation of the grace of God. And I want to bring that to light today because I believe that there's so many people today and we see a spiritual Jerusalem in our land today. We see a people that has seemingly put God, if they haven't forgotten God, they put him way down the list, and they're not reverencing the house of God. They're not reverencing the word of God. They're not reverencing the spirit of God like they once was. And it's a shame. I'm not saying all the people, because thank God there's a remnant. Aren't you glad that there's still a church? Aren't you glad that there's still a remnant? Aren't you glad that there's still a people, amen, that love the grace and mercy of God? But even in the midst of those believers, even in the midst of those closest disciples and those followers of Christ, Jesus looked past those and he saw a people whose heart had waxed cold. He saw a people whose mind was far from the word of God and the obedience of God's word, Brother Jim. And he wept audibly and he began
began to speak and he began to tell them, if you had only known. And I hear that echoing in my heart today and in my mind, and I point the finger back at the church. Church, we have got to make sure that every one of our loved ones has known about the grace of God, and we've got to make sure that it is for you and for your children and for your children's children. Let us never take for granted that they already know that they've been called to the grace and mercy of God, but let us encourage them each and every day. I remember back when I was just a young person, I was encouraged on a daily basis to let God be first in my life. I was encouraged on a daily basis to read my Bible and to pray and to seek God. And I'm wondering today if it's just a one and done invitation. And if it was a one and done invitation, this boy probably would never be in church today. But somebody loved me enough. Somebody was concerned about me enough. Somebody wept at the altar. Do you understand, church? It is our duty. It is our obligation to weep at the altar. Not for our sakes only, but for the sakes of loved ones. For the sakes of so many people out there today whose mind is far from the presence of God, who seemingly is unconcerned about where they're going to spend eternity. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for His love and mercy and our transformation, it could be us out there that we're talking about tonight. If you had only known the visitation, if you had only known the grace that was extended to you in that day. Another version of Amplified Bible says that in parentheses that it says peace was extended to you. Freedom from the results of sin. The church can thank God for that. Can you thank God for not only the peace that has been extended to us, but the freedom from the results of sin? The results of sin can cause a life to be in shambles. The results of sin can cause someone to seem like they're so far away from the grace of God. The results of sin can leave you lonely. It can leave you in a sad situation. It can put you in a place where you think nobody cares about you anymore. Sin, the results of sins can even drive you from thinking that there is a God. But let me tell you, there is a visitation of God. And I think about the visitation of God, and I think about the convicting spirit that came over me the night that I gave my heart to the Lord. I'm so thankful, Brother Jim, that I didn't forget that visitation. I'm so glad that I didn't pass it off as just a bad feeling. I'm so glad that God loved me enough and extended His grace and mercy to tug at my heart, to bring me to an altar of repentance. But Christ is telling Jerusalem here, you forgot or you didn't recognize the day of visitation. God forbid that there's people today that God is convicting their heart and their soul, and they don't recognize that as the convicting power of God. My granddaddy had a testimony. My granddaddy was not saved at an early age. In fact, he ran from God for a long period of time, and if he was here tonight, he would certainly verify that testimony. He thought that he was having heart problems. The convicting power of God was so intensely upon him. My grandmother, bless her heart, she'd been a saint of God for years. She'd go to church without my granddaddy. She'd pray for him. She'd lay him on the altar, and she would ask God to save his soul. And she'd go home, and my granddaddy would fuss at her for giving the church all of that money. And he would try to make every excuse in the world, but little did he realize that that sickness that he thought that was coming over him, and he got his brother, one of his brothers, his dear brother, and he decided that he was going to die. He thought that that what was happening to his life, because the convicting power of God was so, and like I said, so intently upon his life, and it was crushing his very chest. He thought he was having a heart attack. And one thing that he'd always desired to do, and this is kind of comical now, but back then it was a big thing, he wanted to go to New York City, and he wanted to see Coney Island. He had always heard about New York City and Coney Island and all the amusements that was there and everything. So that's what he wanted to do. And he got his brother, and they made arrangements to go to New York and visit Coney Island, because he said he wanted to do that before he died. And he went on to say, you know, when he got there and he thought, you know, that would be the one thing that made him feel better. He said he was miserable the whole time, and he came back, that burden was just as hard on his chest as it ever was. And he realized that he needed Jesus Christ, and he got to go into church. church with my grandmother, and one night there was the visitation. How many remembers the visitation? Do you remember holding on to the bottom of the pew thinking, oh my Lord, I don't know if I can make it to offer altar call or not. And your heart is pounding so much in your chest that you think your neighbor's actually hearing that. Thank God for the convicting power of God. Thank God for His mercy and grace. And thank Him for His visitation. And my granddaddy said the power of God was so real in that service, and he couldn't wait for the preacher to get through preaching. And he made his way down to the altar. And not only that night did the Lord save him and fill him. Amen. But he took that tightness away out of his chest. It wasn't a heart attack all at all. It was the Spirit of God attacking his heart. Amen. And letting him know that today is the day of your visitation. Today is the day that I'm reaching out and calling to you. And thank God each and every one of us has faced that time. But Jerusalem is here and Christ is weeping. And he said, you did not recognize or understand the day of visitation. You passed it off. You disregarded it. You were too busy. You were too preoccupied. You were too caught up in your daily routines. You were doing something else. And little did you realize that this was the visitation of God's grace and His mercy. And look what you're missing out on. You're missing out on the peace. You're missing out on the freedom from the results of sin. You're missing out on security and safety and prosperity and happiness, all because you didn't recognize the visitation of God's Spirit. And then Christ says some very unnerving words. Words that we never want to hear. Words that we never want to realize that's taken place in our spiritual life. Because He said all of these promises, all of this goodness, all of this mercy, and all of this grace are hidden from your eyes. You can't see it anymore. You've hardened your heart, Jerusalem. You've turned a deaf ear to the call of God. I don't want to scare us with stories, but we've all heard testimonies. We've actually been involved with prison ministries, and we've heard some very sorrowful and pitiful stories of how people that are now incarcerated, people that have done some terrible things in their life, and now they're paying the price. And I've heard more than one say that I was not raised this way. I've heard them say that my parents, my grandparents brought me to church when I was just a little boy. And then they say things like, when I grew up and I got away from it. God forbid that they come. All of this is hidden from our eyes. God forbid that during our time of visitation, we turn our deaf ear, we close our eyes, we try to come up with some kind of excuse. Now it's not the time. I'm too young. I still want to have this much fun. I still want to do the things in the world, whatever the excuse was. And we hear these very sad stories of how they were raised in church. But when they grew up, I turned from that and I decided to do my own thing. And time after time I hear them say, Brother Jim, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Let me tell you something. When you stray from God's ordinance, it's very easy to get mixed up with the wrong crowd. Can I tell you that your Christian brothers and sisters are the best crowd you could ever be around? They're the ones that love you for what you are. They're the ones that'll support you. They're not trying to drag you down into miry clay, but these precious men now who are sorry for their actions, but they still, you reap what you sow. And Brother Jim, the tears in their eyes, and they say, I got mixed up in the wrong crowd, and I got away from God, and I began to do my thing. And now they're paying the price, and Christ is weeping. Jesus is weeping before He even gets into Jerusalem. On the outskirts, He looks and He begins to weep for the situation and the condition that Israel, that Jerusalem is in. And He says, now their eyes are hidden, or these blessings are hidden from their eyes. And then He says in verse 43, for the days shall come upon thee. I just mentioned, it is unfortunate that we do have to reap what we sow. Can I tell you that God is a forgiver of sin? Can I tell you that God will wipe the slate clean? But can I tell you the natural law will not? You still have to pay the price. You still have to suffer the consequences of a sin-stained life if you disobeyed the law. And so many of those people said, oh, if I had it to do over, if I could just go back to the days that I was raised in church. But unfortunately, you can't go back and erase those things. Only the grace of God, amen, can give you a clean slate. Aren't you thankful, amen, that Christ's mercy and His grace is extended to us? A time is coming. Church, a time is coming. I know we've extended the olive leaf. I know that we have extended our love and tried to encourage our loved ones and those that seemingly are lost in sin to come. Come while Jesus is calling you. Come and give your life to Christ. But maybe it's a time to get a little serious with them and tell them a time is coming. A time is coming when your enemies will surround you. A time is coming. I know you're living in peace and comfort now, and I know you think that those days could never, ever come to happen. I know that you think that no enemy could ever prevail because you've lived in peace and you've suffered or you've enjoyed victory after victory, but a time is coming. The days are coming when your enemies will completely compass you around and surround you and dig a trench around you, and you won't be able to go out and you won't be able to come in, and Christ says they'll lay you to the ground. In other words, they'll smite you down. Can I tell you, the enemy of God wants to see you flat on your back. He wants to smite you on the ground. He doesn't want peace in your life. He doesn't want joy in your life. He doesn't want victory in your life. He doesn't want happiness and prosperity. Amen. You need to understand, when the visitation of the Lord comes upon you, you need to hear it with an open ear and an open heart and accept the invitation to come and give your life to Christ, because the days are coming, folks. The days are coming. As Christ said, for the days shall come upon thee. Thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. They shall smite you. They shall drive you to the very ground. And then he says, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Church, because you did not recognize or realize that God was visiting you. Thank God that my granddaddy realized finally that it was the convicting power of God, not a heart attack, not sickness, not depression, but the convicting power of God. Because the moment he gave his life to Christ, that sickness, that feeling was gone, amen. It put joy and peace where there was once stress and anxiety and fearfulness and agony and all of those things that are associated with a sinful life. Why? Because he finally realized that today is the day of visitation. But the days are coming. The Bible tells us that God will not strive with men always. Can I urge you to answer the call during the time of visitation? I don't know how many of us have had an opportunity to go somewhere, to be a part of something, and we were unsure because of different reasons. Maybe it didn't fit into our schedule, or maybe we just didn't feel like going, or maybe we didn't, you know, just for whatever reason. And then all of a sudden at the very last moment, then we change our mind and we decide to go, but it's too late. You know, the bus has left. Amen. The plane has gone. The transportation has already gone. I can't tell you, there's been many, many times in my life when I've had a change of heart or change of mind and decided at the last minute, I think I'll go now, only to find out that the day of visitation, the time of invitation, had passed me by. It was too late. God forbid that that happened to us spiritually. God forbid that that happened to one of our loved ones, to someone that we work with, simply because we worked side by side with them for 20 years and we never told them about a day of visitation. We never shared with them about the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He had done for us. You know, I've often said this, a personal testimony is the greatest tool that you can give to somebody else. So many times we think we have to recite the Bible and know it scripture by scripture in order to be able to testify, to witness to somebody. Nothing wrong with learning and rehearsing and reciting the scriptures. They're powerful, they're wonderful, they're encouraging. But many, many times just your personal testimony of what Christ did to you and your visitation, how that He came into your life and how He convicted your spirit and brought you to an altar of repentance. That is the thing that so many times will reach other people, because it's something that happened to you individually and personally. And as I say so often, nobody can tell your story like you can. Amen. Nobody, I can't tell the story of your conversion as good as you can, because it happened to you. Amen. If you'll just testify, if you'll just witness, if you'll just reach out. Amen. I believe with all of my heart. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a time for the church to be down. I'm not saying it's a time for the church to be forlorn. I'm not saying it's a time for the church to be distressed. But it is a time for the church to weep. It's a time for the saints of God to weep before the altar. Amen. Because you look around, you understand that there's people today, right now, while we're reading the Word of God, right now where we're enjoying praise and worship and in one mind and one accord, there are people, amen, that are strung out on any and every kind of substance. There are people that think there's no hope for them whatsoever. Right now, there's accidents happening all over the world. There's people who are unsure of whether they're ready to meet the Lord. Right now, being involved in accidents, it didn't happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And what's so scary sometimes, it touches our family. It touches those around us. And God forbid the time of visitation pass them by and we haven't reached our hand out to them and we haven't loved them and we haven't given them an invitation to come to Christ. There is a time to weep. Even Jesus with all of the miracles, even Jesus with all of the blessings, even Jesus with all of the wonderful things that He did as He walked this earth, walked to Jerusalem, rode in on that colt, and He began to weep audibly for the condition of Jerusalem. It's time for the church to weep for the condition of those that are lost today. Would you stand? God bless you for being here on this Sunday night. I'm going to do it a little different tonight. If you feel that there's someone that you know, you don't have to share that with anybody, but if you feel like there's a person or a soul or a loved one or a relative or whatever, would you come to the altar and weep? And I'm not saying just cry. I'm just saying come on their behalf. Come and pray for a time of visitation for them. With every eye closed, every head bowed of tonight. If you're not comfortable with coming to the altar, would you do it there where you're standing? Would you reach out and weep for a soul? Would you pray for somebody tonight? Would you pray for your loved ones? Would you pray for those around you? Would you